It's just so good to see everybody here today. You know, of course, I look forward to when I can greet you in our sanctuary, but it was so nice to walk through the rows of cars today and just see you, you know, face to face. God is good. I appreciate you being so faithful, you know, to these drive-in services. God's just got a good plan for us. Let's get built up in the Word. Amen. Let's get into the Word and get some answers for this time that we're going through in our nation today. Go with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Go to Psalm 23, and today I'm going to call this message, How to Survive and Thrive in the Shadow of Death. How to survive and thrive in the shadow of death. Now, we know we're going to make it through this time. We know that God is faithful. We know that this time is going to pass here in our nation. And I'll tell you what, we're going to go through, you know, the valley of the shadow of death. We might as well do it God's way. We might as well be faithful. We might as well conduct ourselves in a way that would please Him. And I'll tell you what, we're just saying this. Our nation is turning back to God. More souls are coming to His kingdom in our nation than ever before. And we're just going to keep on saying that because we need to use our faith for the souls of the lost during this time. But we're going to read Psalm 23, and I just want to, you know, say this off the top. Psalm 23 was not given to us to be, you know, an inspirational psalm in the sense that we look at it traditionally. So often people turn to Psalm 23 and they will, you know, ritually repeat it or speak it, you know, almost like it is some kind of good luck charm or something like that. Psalm 23 wasn't given to us to just make us feel better. Psalm 23 was given to us as instruction of what to do and what to say when we're in the midst of the shadow of death. Now, of course, you know that the death's shadow and the shadow of fear is casting all across our land right now. Well, Psalm 23 tells us what to do to not only survive during this time, but to thrive during this time. The Bible makes it clear. We do not have to perish or be cast down with the rest of the world. There is a way to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? And fear no evil. It is possible for us to have goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. It is possible to have our heads anointed with God's oil. It is possible for our cup to run over. Amen. Let's read Psalm 23. We're going to read all six verses. Now, maybe you were taught as a child to memorize Psalm 23, and that's a good thing. But remember, it's not just the vain repetition of Psalm 23. It's the instructions of Psalm 23 that will help us and to teach us. So let's read this psalm. It says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Of course, if you're reading the King James, it says, I shall not want. The word want there means lack. He, the Lord, makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Thou, meaning the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, so many times I've heard this passage read at funerals, and sometimes people think that this, you know, psalm was written about someone who died or in the face of death. Actually, it wasn't written about someone who died. It was written by King David by the Holy Spirit. And it was David saying what is the potential for walking in victory even though there's a very tough time around us. And so you have to know a little bit about when Psalm 23 was written. The Spirit of God gave David this psalm. A lot of scholars believe that David wrote this when he was in the midst of a civil war in Israel. You remember how King David's son, Absalom, had rebelled against his dad and tried to overthrow King David? Of course, that was heartbreaking for David, and it was just a gut-wrenching time. But not only was it heartbreaking, it was very dangerous for David because there were people out there trying to kill him. He was having to go to battle against the armies of his own son. It was just a real low spot in David's life. But I want to remind you and just kind of repeat some of the statements that were spoken in Psalm 23. Remember, this is given to David by the Holy Spirit in a very low point in David's life. But look at these statements that were found in Psalm 23. David said, I will not lack. He said, I will be in green pastures. I will lie beside still waters. He said, the Lord restores my soul. Now, the word soul there means our mind, will, and emotions. Somebody that had their son rebel against them, of course, would be, you know, fraught with, you know, depressive thoughts and things. And David said, the Lord restores my mind. You know, he said, I will fear no evil. The Lord prepares a table before me. The Lord anoints my head with oil. He said, my cup is full and runs over. And he said, goodness and mercy follow me as I'm passing through the valley of the shadow of death. So where does Psalm 23 take place? It takes place in the valley of the shadow of death. David was given this imagery, you know, of a valley because it represents a very low spot in David's life. It seemed like, you know, naturally speaking, that it was hopeless, that it was helpless. You know, the picture is these looming mountains that were very imposing, casting a shadow on David, you know, trying to convince him that there was no way out. But in the midst of this low spot, the Holy Spirit started to reveal in David that, hey, just because you're passing through doesn't mean you got to die here. He said, just because you're moving through doesn't mean you have to lack. It doesn't mean that you have to go without. It doesn't mean that it's going to bring you down. Amen. This is not a place of fear for David. You know, the Lord said, if you will follow me, you won't lack financially. You won't lack in health. You won't lack in joy and peace and full provision. Even though death's shadow is casting all around you, God has made a promise to his people that he will supernaturally protect them and provide for them in this day and hour. Aren't you glad for that? Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. And so even though David was not in a pleasant place, he was, you know, declaring that he was going to thrive, not only survive, but have his cup full and running over even in the midst of that time. This is not written by someone who felt like he was lacking. You know, this was not written by someone who was afraid. David was writing this because he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to lack. I'm going to be in green pastures. I'm going to be by restful waters. God's going to anoint me, and he's going to set a table for me, even in the presence of enemies that are trying to kill me. And David said, goodness and mercy is going to follow me right through this valley of the shadow of death. Folks, I'll tell you what, if God did that for David in the New or the Old Testament, how much more will God do that for us in the New Testament? Amen. If God said to David that goodness and mercy was going to follow him right through that valley, I'll tell you what, goodness and mercy can follow us right through this valley. Amen. But today I'm going to give you five keys to not only surviving, but thriving in the shadow of death. Are you ready for it? All right. Go back up to verse 1. Let's start with key number one. And of course, you know, Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack." Okay, key number one is simply this: follow the shepherd. Now, you know that the term shepherd is synonymous with the word pastor. But when I say shepherd or pastor, I'm not referring to myself or a man on this earth. Of course, the Lord gave pastors to the body of Christ, you know, to follow. But any New Testament pastor should always point people right back to Jesus. I'm not here to get people, you know, to follow me or something like that. I'm here to point you towards the shepherd of your souls, Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when I talk about shepherd, that's who we're talking about here. Now notice the rest of the psalm is completely dependent upon following the shepherd. If you are going to see God's goodness and mercy, if you're going to claim that you will never lack, if you're going to sit down at the table that's prepared for you, if you're going to have your cup running over, then you're going to have to be fully submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we're just, you know, 1 foot in and 1 foot out, and we're just kind of half-heartedly serving Jesus, I tell you what, the rest of the psalm isn't for us then. If we're just going to be, you know, a traditional Christians, you know, worship God on Christmas and Easter, you know, show up and, you know, be part of the Lord's house when it's convenient or when it's available, you know, I tell you what, that's not following the shepherd. Psalm 23 is the shepherd's psalm because it represents the full potential of what life can be when you are pastored correctly. When we are pastored correctly, our lives can reflect Psalm 23. Now, to be pastored correctly means simply this: to be in submission. Now, when I say submission, I'm not looking for subjects for myself. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a heart that comes before the Lord Jesus Christ and gets down on their knees, lifts their hands to heaven, and says, "Father God, you paid such a great price for me. I will do whatever you want me to do." I've heard some ministers call that the unqualified commitment. I don't know if I can fully even explain that. It just means that, you know, beyond explanation, beyond your words, that you are submitted to God with your whole heart, and his voice to you, the voice of the shepherd, now becomes the most essential part of your life. And the voice of the shepherd begins with the written word of God. If we are going to be sheep, that means we follow the shepherd. Notice the instructions of the shepherd will take us through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, the instructions of the shepherd will keep us safe and protect us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we know we have to follow the shepherd if we are going to thrive. We know that this relationship between sheep and shepherd, it's not a tradition, it's not a religion, it's a wholehearted commitment to him. And we know this, that when we follow the shepherd, it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of supply versus lack. It's a matter of protection versus danger. It's a matter of fear or being fearless. Listen, if you're following the shepherd, if you're completely sold out to Jesus, then you qualify for the rest of the psalm. But if we're not, then we don't qualify for the rest of it. All right? Notice that if you follow the shepherd, you will never lack. But here's the truth. And when I say this, I'm not trying to be critical, but most Christians do not qualify. Because many of God's own people are listening to the voice of something else over the voice of the shepherd. Many of God's own people are following the voice of money instead of the voice of the Word of God. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean by that?" Listen, if your job or your business can look at you and say, "Hey, It's better for you to be at work than to be at church. Then now, when you obey that, you're listening more to the voice of money than we are the voice of the Lord. Because the voice of the Lord says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today. But there's going to be so many opportunities to follow a different voice. There's a voice in our nation and around the world right now that is trying to say that church doesn't matter anymore. That you know what, you can just have your church at home. You know, God will just reach you there. And, you know, sit on your couch, watch a little church, that'll be good enough. But see, we know that if we follow that voice, that's a different voice than the voice of the shepherd. If we're going to have the protection of the shepherd and the provision of the shepherd, we have got to be close to where the shepherd is. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst with them. Notice when we get together in Jesus' name, we get something that we cannot get anywhere else. We can't get it at home on the couch. We can't get it through the computer screen. We get it because we're here together gathered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If we listen to the voice of addictions, you know, addictions have a voice. Addictions will plague someone's flesh and just, you know, pound on their flesh and say, do this, do this, do this, even though it dishonors God. That voice of the addiction must be disobeyed in order to obey the voice of the Lord. All right? There's so many things. You know, bad relationships can be a voice in your life. You could have a friend, or maybe, you know, you're dating somebody, or you've got, you know, close personal acquaintances, maybe even family, who could try to tell you, hey, you know, you don't need to serve in the church. You don't need to do that. You know, you give too much of your time to church. Oh, you give too much of your money to church. Oh, you do too much for God. You know, you don't need to do that. See, that's another voice that is trying to shepherd you. But if you listen to the voice of addictions, if you listen to the voice of money, if you put a job or a business in front of God, I will guarantee your future will lack. I guarantee you that you will not walk in green pastures. I guarantee you, you will be led into a barren land if you follow any other voice than the voice of the shepherd. Amen. And so when we follow Jesus, right, he'll take us into a place where we never lack. God's word is not voluntary. It's not arbitrary. We don't just take it or leave it. The word of God is the voice of the shepherd. And now these instructions will take me through the valley of the shadow of death. They'll protect me. God didn't tell me to be in church to hurt my life. He told me that to protect my life. He didn't tell me to tithe because it would hurt my finances. He told me to tithe because it would help my finances. He didn't tell me to lift my hands so I can be more charismatic than a denominational church. He told me to lift my hands because that pleases him, which then protects us. Amen. And so he gives us these instructions to feed us and to protect us. But if there's something in the word of God, if we say, no, I just won't do that, well, then Psalm 23 doesn't belong to you. Because Psalm 23 belongs to those that say, I will do whatever this Bible says. I will do it no matter how challenging it is. Psalm 23 is for those that will make the tough decisions to do whatever it takes to follow the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so key number one, follow the shepherd. And notice in verse 2, it says, when you follow the shepherd, he makes you to lie down in green pastures. The word green pastures, it means full, tender, ready to eat. It also says that he'll lead you beside still waters. The word still, it means restful and peaceful. Listen, you will never have rest in this life until you are following the shepherd. Amen. It says in verse 3, he restores your soul and he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that brings us to the second key to thriving in the shadow of death. Are you ready for it? Here's the second key. For his name's sake. We have to remember, God does not bless us for our name's sake. He blesses us for his name's sake. We got to get a hold of this. I'll tell you what. If there was ever a reason to be encouraged right now, here it is, all right? God has an invested interest in you to make you successful. Now, when I say successful, I'm not talking about God promising everyone that they would be a millionaire. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible's saying. But God promises a full, satisfied, fully provided for, happy, restful, you know, purposeful life for every single one of us, all right? And he does that. The blessings of God are not to, you know, make you boast about yourself. God puts these blessings for his name's sake. God wants to put his glory on you so that he would be glorified. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15? He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Aren't you glad to know God wants you fruitful? All right? It brings glory to God when you lead a soul to Jesus. It brings God glory when you're not afraid in this life. It brings God glory when you are resting in the shadow of death, right? Just like Jesus brought God glory when he fell asleep on the back of that boat in Mark chapter 4, even in the midst of a hurricane, and the boat was sinking, Jesus did not lose his peace. He did not get into fear. And that brings glory to the Father. When you are a forgiving person, when you are merciful, when you stay faithful even in tough times, that glory is on you to bring praise to his name. Hallelujah. God's going to do something good in your life, but he's going to make you a walking, talking commercial for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, now is our time to shine. Now is the time for the world to see that we've got something that cannot be crushed. We've got something that cannot be stopped. Now is the time to show the world that we're faithful even when the valley of the shadow of death is all around us. We still have our joy. We still have our peace. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, but if we just act as scared of the world, if we act as scared as the world does, what difference is there between us and them? If we're sitting around panicking like the world, then we must have forgotten who we're following. Because our life will be the sum of what we follow. Never forget that. Our lives will be the sum of what we follow. I'm telling you, if your life is just year after year after year, defined by lack and depression, and you know your life is just defeated all the time, and you hate life, and you have no joy, and you're not restful, I tell you what, you better check up on how close you're following the shepherd. Because when you follow the shepherd, he didn't say that you wouldn't see trials. David admitted, he said, "I'm walking through the valley of shadow of death." But David said, "But I'm not going to die here because the shepherd is bringing me through it." Amen. Listen, we're going to walk through some things. We're going to walk through some things. Many of us are walking through some things right now. But I tell you what, this is not the new normal. Listen, this doesn't mean that you can't thrive. This doesn't mean that you can't be full in this life. You will be. And I'll tell you what, but if your life has just been defined year after year as nonstop, depression and a lack of peace, check up on what you're following. He's going to bring his glory upon us for his name's sake. Hey, you're in Psalm 23. Go back to Psalm 6. Go back just a few chapters. Go to Psalm 6. Look at how David spoke to God. And remember, God was so pleased with David, he said, this is a man after my own heart. And so David is going to get pretty bold with God. And let's go to Psalm 6 and verse 5. Look what David said. And this is in the word recorded for us so that we could take upon us this faith. David says in Psalm 6, 5, David, of course, is going through, again, troubles, trials. He's facing big battles, all this stuff. And David says, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. He's talking to the Lord. He says, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give you thanks? Now, unfortunately, there's some institutions that have twisted this verse, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they take this verse and they say that God might forget you in death. Well, that's ridiculous. The Bible says God will not forget anybody. The Bible says, for it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And so we know every human being is going to face God. And that doesn't mean God forgets you in death. That's a ridiculous idea. What David is saying here, David is in the midst of a battle. He's facing, you know, a great challenge, and he cries out to God, and he says, God, if I am killed in this place, if my enemies defeat you, there's going to be no praise or remembrance or glory in it for you, right? David says, God, if I am cast down and killed by my enemies, then I won't be able to give you thanks upon this earth if I'm killed. All right, let me show you this again. Go to Psalm 30. Because this is a repeating theme through the book of Psalms. Listen, if we're just defeated by this thing, if we are cast down into fear, and if we're cast down into complaining about our finances, what glory is there going to be for God if we don't hold on to our joy and to our peace, amen, and declare that we shall not lack? Go to Psalm 30. Listen, if this thing wins, if the enemy wins, there's no glory in it for God. Because the Bible says when he puts these blessings on you, he's doing it for his name's sake. So we could say during this time, whether someone was facing sickness and disease, whether it's coronavirus or whatever it is, you know, if somebody was facing, you know, a financial hardship because of the hits on the economy, listen, we can go to God and say, Father, you are going to bring me out of this, because what glory will you receive if this thing defeats me? God loves that kind of faith. Look at this. Psalm 30 in verse 9. David again saying something similar. David says, what profit? This is Psalm 30 and verse 9. David says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? He's talking about if he gets defeated on this earth. He says, shall the dust praise thee? He's talking to the Lord. Shall it, the dirt, declare your truth? Isn't that bold of David? He says, if my blood gets shed upon this earth, David says, if I die before my time, or if this thing casts me down to the ground, what profit is it in that for God? Let's keep on reading. Verse 10. He says, hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. How many of you know God wants to help you? Because when the world sees you walking in God's help, it brings the Lord glory. He says, hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Be my helper. David says to the Lord, he says, you've turned for me my mourning into dancing. Imagine that. Imagine having the joy of the Lord that you would not be afraid to dance in the midst of a hardship. Glory to God. He says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth. That means shame. And you have girded me with gladness. I tell you what, Christians need to read the Psalms and see what David was in. And David wasn't saying, God, you know, you dressed me in sadness and pity. He said, the Lord has turned my mourning into dancing. He has dressed me with the gladness of the Lord. Amen. Now look at this. Verse 12. David says, to the end, or for this reason, that my glory may sing praise to God. That he would put his glory on us so that his name receives the praise. Why are we going to thrive in this time? Because it's a great opportunity to see the goodness and the glory of the Lord, and the world must see it on us if they're going to turn and praise God. Amen? We might as well just go ahead and be a walking, talking billboard for the gospel. That's key number two, for his name's sake. I dare you. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. I double dog dare you to go before God and say, Father, you know, if you're facing, I'm talking that press, you know, and also for those that are watching, you know, by live stream, if there's people that are under the press, and you know what I mean? They're just being pressured in this life. I just encourage them. Go before God. Turn your heart to the shepherd. Go before him and say, Father, reveal your glory in me. Father, for your name's sake, I will not lack. For your name's sake, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Father, I will obey you. I will do whatever your word says, and your glory will be on me for your praise and glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you got to believe it. All right. Key number three, we got to get moving here. What if we went over an hour today? Oh my goodness. Life might just start looking like normal. Look at here, verse 4. David said, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Isn't it interesting how the Spirit had David write that down? Do you know that David, follow me for a second here. David says, yes, though I'm walking through a tough place, though I'm going through a hardship, yep, though it looks like everything around me is crashing down, David is going to say, but I will fear no evil. He says, but the Lord's going to anoint my head. He's going to fill my cup. My cup runs over. Do you know that most Christians, we talk the opposite way? We will say things like, you know, I know the Bible says that God will heal us, but this is hard, this is tough, this is bad. I know God says that he'll prosper me, but I lost this, I lost that. See, now, pardon the way I'm going to say this, but we put our butt in the wrong place. You know what I mean by that? You know, David said, yeah, I'm walking through a tough spot, but God's going to fill my cup. I'm walking through a tough spot, but goodness and mercy is going to follow me. Yeah, I'm walking through a tough place, but I'll never lack. See, David contradicted the circumstances with the word of the Lord. But we talk today in a way that we contradict the word of the Lord with circumstances. That's wrong. We should talk like the Spirit of God talked to David. The Spirit of God said, yeah, it's true. You're walking through a tough place, and God sees that. God knows it, but he's going to prepare a table for you, or he has prepared a table for you, but he's going to fill your cup, but surely goodness and mercy is going to follow you, but green pastures, but still waters, but you'll never lack, but you'll never fear evil. Isn't that awesome how God turned that? Amen. David said, yep, I'm walking through a tough spot, but God. But God who is rich in mercy. But God who is my provider. But God who is my protector. Listen, so many Christians, what they're doing, they're saying, well, I know God's word says that he'll heal me, but the doctor said this. Well, I know God's word said that he'd provide for me, but I lost my job. But I lost this. This is the reason why circumstances are going to win. If you talk like that, Psalm 23 does not belong to you. If you always have an excuse of why you are going to fail, God gave you the word so that you have an excuse why you're going to win. Amen. Glory to God. He didn't give us circumstances so we can say, well, the circumstances are tougher. They're never tougher than God's word. And that brings us to key number three. In verse 4, David said, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no one tries to act like these things aren't happening. All right. But the way we talk, we should talk God's word. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no virus. I will fear no economy. I will fear no lack of money. I will fear, nothing that people say. I will not fear the news. Psalm 112, what is that, verse 7? It says, do not be afraid of evil tidings. The Bible says, don't be afraid of bad news. But if you're sitting there obsessing over the news and it's getting you all worried, I'm telling you, you're listening to the wrong voice. You're listening doesn't mean it's wrong. Listen, I check in on the news every day. It's not wrong to watch the news. But if you're sitting there and allowing it to drive you into fear, then I'll tell you what, you're listening to the wrong voice. Key number three, are you ready? Fear no evil. Notice in verse 4, David said, I will fear no evil. Notice that God did not come down upon David and say, okay, I'm going to just take away the fear for you. See, Christians, we think wrong. We'll think that God's going to just take the fear, you know, that he's got his little, you know, bingo ball roller up there, and if he pulls your number out today, that he's just going to take the fear away from you. It is not God's job to remove fear. It is your job to remove fear. It is not God's responsibility to automatically come on you and take the fear out of your life. You have to make a decision right now that you will not be afraid. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? See, of course, time doesn't permit for me to teach you an entire lesson on authority and faith. But Jesus told us over and over, you shall have what you say. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That word power means authority. He says he has not given you the spirit of fear, but he's given you authority. The Bible says over there in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, your adversary, the devil, whom stalks about, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, resist him steadfast in the faith, or literally the spoken word of faith. When fear tries to get on my life, I understand this. Remember, we've said this around here all the time. The fear of the something is worse than the something. Fear is going to be the first attack that you face. All right? When fear comes against me, I simply will speak. I will say, fear, in Jesus' name, you don't belong to me. God did not give you to me. Therefore, I do not take or embrace fear. Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. You know, we have to use our authority when fear tries to come upon us. We better rebuke that fear. We better win the internal battle, all right, in our thought life. Fear is the first attack. Fear is the shadow of death. How many of you know shadows don't hurt you? You know, I'm standing in a shadow right now. Shadows are just a false impression of something that's real. Nobody could ever kill you with a shadow. Do you know that? But remember when you were a kid and you were lying in your bed at night? Maybe you saw some scary movie or you saw something and, you know, you saw some shadow and you were convinced as a kid that that shadow was something that could hurt you. Maybe it was the boogeyman behind your door or whatever. How many of you remember that as a kid? Did you ever? Yeah, you remember that. All right. But how many of you know that was the imagination of somebody who's immature? You know, a child, you know, doesn't know better. And so they look at the shadow thinking the shadow can hurt them. But really, it's just the thought in their mind convincing them that a shadow is going to kill them. Well, you know this, shadows don't hurt anybody. And in this way, you got to understand that fear is the shadow of death. It is the first attack. That's why David said this, I will not fear the shadow of these things that are coming across my life. You know, those shadows were trying to convince David that he was going to lose the battle, that they were going to kill him and take him out early. But David said this, I've decided I will not fear the evil that's coming against me. Praise the Lord. You do not have to let the shadow of fear dominate your life. Yes. Praise the Lord. Notice this. Death started talking to David before it ever got to him physically. The shadow of the thing is not the thing. The shadow of death is not death. David had a battle in his mind before he ever had a battle on the field. David hadn't even gotten to the battlefield yet, and he's saying, the pressure of death is upon me. He said, but I will stand up to that fear. I will not fear evil, for the Lord restores my soul. Are you getting something out of this? Do you understand what we're talking about here? David was being that fear was trying to convince David, hey, you're going to die before you've even fought the battle yet. That's what fear is trying to do to this nation and to this world right now. It's trying to convince us that we're going to get sick or we're going to lose our livelihoods, our lives are going to crash because of this thing before this thing is even through. But that's why David said, I'm just walking through this valley. I'm not staying here and I'm not going to die here. Glory to God. But it is going to be your decision whether or not you will be in fear. David had a battle in his mind before he had a battle in the field. Fear was making that valley look worse, and it was making those mountains around it looking more imposing and bigger and stronger. But David said, I'm safe because I'm in covenant with the protector. David said, I'm passing through. He said, this is not my life. This is not the new normal. I might pass through here, but I will not die here. Notice, the fear of the something was worse than the something. And before you ever face this life, you better make sure that fear is out of the way first. I've been saying this from the beginning of this trial that our nation is facing, that fear is still our greatest opponent. It is wrong to be afraid when you're following the shepherd. It is wrong to allow worry and panic to define you when you're following the shepherd. Let's show the world there's something different about us. Let's show the world we're not worried about it. You know what? There's going to come a time again, I'm going to shake your hand. The time is going to come again, we're going to sit next to each other in this church. The time is going to come again where we're going to take vacations, we're going to sit in restaurants, we're going to be friendly. Yes. You know, we are not going to just, this is not the new normal. We're just walking through here. Glory to God. All right. And so now we got a fix to close because I see I'm down to my last few minutes and I got more than a few minutes of notes left. All right. Let's real quickly give you keys number 4 and 5. Key number 4. Look at this. What David said in Psalm 23:5. David said, through the Spirit of God in the midst of a very tough place, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God is telling us through the Holy Spirit, through David, thousands of years ago, through his Bible, that even though enemies can surround you, even though the shadow of death, you know, in this case, it could be the shadow of disease or the shadow of economic collapse. He's saying, even though those shadows are cast, God has already prepared a table for you to eat at. He's already prepared a table for you to be healed at. He's prepared a table for you to be provided for. Here is key number four. Key number four is knowing that the table is set for you. Glory to God. If we would face this life, the table's set for me. But Pastor, this is happening. It doesn't matter. The table's set. And notice this. Sickness, disease, lack of finances, you know, crushing economy cannot remove you from God's table. The only thing that can remove you from God's table is you. The only thing that can remove you from God's table is you if you get into fear and allow fear to pull you away from that table. God's table is already set, and on that table is everything you need. Imagine yourself sitting down at a big dinner table, and God says, here, let me set everything you need in front of you. Oh, here in front of you is all the health and healing you need. Here's all the peace you need. Here's all the joy you need. Here's all the rest you need. Here's the long life you need. Here's the knowledge and understanding you need. And he says, now just sit at the table. Just sit there and know this, nothing can take you away from that table. You know, it doesn't matter. Of course, God does have a long life for us. And of course, you know, thank God. He says over there in Psalm 91:16, he says, with long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. All right? But you know the death of our body is not the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing that can happen to a human being is to die in their sins. That's the worst thing that can happen to a human being, all right? And when we act like preserving ourselves is the number one goal in life, we've missed it. See, you know, it's kind of an oxymoron. When you no longer are scared to die, you're going to live longer. When you're no longer afraid of having less money, you'll have plenty of it. When you are no longer afraid of stuff in this life, you'll have rest and joy. I'm not afraid of what people think of me. I'm not afraid of what illness is in the land. I'm not afraid of what the economy's doing. I have no idea what it's doing today. I don't know if the stock market's up or down, because I know this, that God is always up. Amen. All right. So there's a table prepared for you. And so what does that mean? David just kept on walking through that valley, knowing the whole time, there's a table prepared for me. I'm not going to go without. I'm not going to be cast down into the dirt. I'm not going to be taken out by this thing. Amen. Glory to God. Do you believe that God has prepared a table for you? Yes. And now key number five is we're getting ready to close. Look at the last verse of Psalm 23. See, if Christians would start at the first verse and continue through the last verse of Psalm 23, they would see God preserve them in a mighty way. Look what he says. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's exactly right. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, listen, if you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, you might as well start dwelling in the house of the Lord on earth. Yeah, all right. Hey, we got some horns all the way in the back. Glory to God. Key number five, the house of the Lord. How are you going to be preserved? How will all this goodness and mercy, how will these green pastures and still waters be preserved in your life? I'm telling you, it's going to be through the continual miracles that are found in the house of the Lord. Real quickly, go to Psalm 92. You're right there in the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 92. Folks, you hear me say this probably every week. And you know what? I'm going to keep on preaching it. And I'm not saying it because I'm a pastor. I'm saying it because it's true. Our nation has tried to turn, when I say our nation, I don't even you know, I don't mean just, you know, our civil government. I'm talking about people, and especially beginning with Christians. We have turned the house of God into something so cheap and shallow that it's just hurting the heart of God. Churches nowadays, their yoga classes, their exercise classes, their single groups, their gymnasiums, their sports programs, their all these things that God never had for the local church. He wanted the house of the Lord to be a holy and sacred place dedicated to the preaching and teaching of His Word and the move of the Holy Spirit. But yet the modern day church and its entertainment, and the modern day church with, you know, this theme of a nightclub and all this trendiness, it has made church cheap and shallow. And you know what the fruit of it has been? Because when we tried to dumb down church, we took the power out of it. And when their power was out of it, you know, the flashy lights and the entertainment, it's not holding people. Our nation has the lowest church attendance of any time in our history when we have the most people we've ever had in our history. More people attended church during the Great Depression than they're attending church now. More people attended church in the days of World War II and even the Civil War than they are attending church today. See, if God's people are going to be preserved, they're going to have to be in the house of the Lord. Look at Psalm 92, verse 13. Now let's look at this verse. 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. You know, you could just say that right there in your car. I am planted in the house of the Lord, therefore I shall flourish in the courts of my God. See, Christians want the flourishing, but they don't want to do the planting. If you're going to be flourishing in the courts of God, you're going to have to get rooted and grounded into an uncompromised Bible-teaching church. See, church is the place where selfishness comes to die. Church is where we come to serve the Lord, to hear His Word, and to serve one another. Church is where we come to love one another, to show God that, you know, God, we don't just love you, we love your family. And if we're going to be preserved, if we're going to walk in the blessings of Psalm 90 or Psalm 23, if we're going to walk in the green pastures, besides the still waters, the goodness, the mercy, the Lord anoints our head with oil, our cup runs over. If you want that, you're going to have to be planted in the house of God. But nowadays, too many people are not planted. And they're more like tumbleweeds. A lot of Christians today are just tumbling around. You know, they blow around from this place to that place to this place to that place to this place and that place. I'll tell you what, it's time to stop blowing around. It's time to get some roots in the ground and start flourishing God's way. And I'll tell you what, I cannot promise you at this church that you will like everything you hear. I can't promise you that you'll like everything I do or the church does. There's no perfect church, this one included. But I will tell you that as long as I'm the pastor, this place will be a place of the uncompromised Word of God that you can be taught, that you can learn, that you can walk in strength, and you can pass through that valley of the shadow of death without having to die there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Did you get some help here today? Yes. Well, God is good. Listen, Psalm 23, it wasn't given us so we just ritually repeat it or we say it at a funeral. Psalm 23 reveals the full potential for our life if we will be pastored correctly. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we just love you and praise you today. Lord, you are so faithful. You are so good. Lord, you showed us in Psalm 23 how we can not only survive the valley of the shadow of death, but we can thrive in it. Our cup can be full and run over. Pastures can be green. The waters can be still. We can have the anointing of God upon our head. Father, we can sit down at your table. Goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, you are faithful. You are so good. Father, I just command your blessing upon each one that's here today. And now with every eye closed, if we could just go ahead and close our eyes right there in our vehicles. And if we could just go ahead and bow our heads. I want to just ask you the most important question anyone will ever ask you. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? If you're here today, perhaps you're visiting or perhaps you're newer with us. And on the inside, something's telling you that you need to give your life to Christ, that you need to fully submit your life to God. Well, I want to give you that opportunity today. I'm not going to make you get out of your car. I'm not going to make you, walk up front here or anything like that. I know we're in a different situation being in our vehicles. But right there in your car, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. And I invite you, pray this prayer. Not because I'm saying it, but speak it to God with all of your heart. He will hear you. To anyone that's listening, if you are unsure about your eternal destiny, today you can get sure by putting your faith in Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your heart, confess with your mouth, or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so if you'll be sincere, it is that easy, but you just have to mean it. So I invite everybody right there in your vehicles, pray this prayer. If you've never made Jesus your Lord, pray this prayer with us. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, if you're here today and you just prayed that prayer for the first time, and today's the day that you've given your heart to Jesus, first of all, I want to show you that you're not alone. This parking lot is filled with people that have made Jesus their Lord, and I want to show you that. Folks, if you're here today and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is your home, go ahead and beep your horns right now. Praise the Lord. See, you're not alone. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, there's no one here that's going to ridicule you. You don't need to feel embarrassed or anything. You can just see that we would rejoice with you. But if that's you, I invite you, if today's the first time you prayed that and you meant it with all your heart, take that bold step. Just go ahead and give your horn a quick honk. We'd love to hear it. Of course, we'd love to rejoice with you. We understand that there's a lot of believers here today. But if you're here today and you prayed and you just made Jesus your Lordship, hey, we got a horn back there. Glory to God. God loves you. You know, if there's anyone else, just go ahead, be bold. You know, hit that horn. We don't need to be ashamed ever of making Jesus our Lord and Savior. So the Bible says that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. And so heaven has a party here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, folks, we're going to get ready to dismiss. I'm going to come down to the front row. We're going to dismiss by vehicle. Folks, just a reminder, we are using both exits here today. We're going to send one car straight forward and another car to the right. And so if the car in front of you goes straight, you're going to take a right. Of course, Pastor Brad will be down there to direct you. We do have our ushers ready to receive tithes and offerings. Church family, you know what to do. Those that are visiting here today, you're not obligated to give. You're certainly welcome to. But folks, we just love you. Folks, I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, you know, I love you with all my being. And God's got a good plan for us. He's got a good plan for this church. He's got a good plan for our community. And I tell you what, God has not given up on the United States of America. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Father God, we just praise you today. We just give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.